Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from the 28th chapter of Genesis. Genesis is filled with such great stories, stories that our children learn in vacation Bible school and with the felt boards and the finger puppets in Sunday school. This is one of those stories, and of course there are songs about the images that are drawn forth from this passage. So listen to these words from Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night. Because the sun had set, taking one of the stones of that place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set upon the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside Jacob and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And Jacob was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May we pray together? There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. Oh God, you are here and present with us, and we are grateful. Open our hearts to the words we've read from Scripture, and as those words will be strung into this sermon, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning I'm going to ask you a question that I've asked before. Have you seen God lately? Where have you seen God lately? Now, this is not an old sermon that I'm just retreading for this day, but you've heard me ask that question before. Have you seen God lately? Where have you seen God lately? It seems to me that question is a question that's always appropriate for disciples of Jesus the Christ. Where have I seen God lately? We read in Genesis that when God created the world, God created it good and blessed it, was excited about it, was enthralled by what God had done. And when God created humankind, God created man and woman in God's image, which suggests that when we look at our brother and sister rightly, we see something of God's image looking back at us. When we look at our beloved, our friend, our neighbor, our enemy, we see something of God looking back at us. Where have you seen God lately? Jesus was interested in telling stories by way of parables, and Jesus is tuning our vision, always tuning our vision to see God and the things of God in ordinary life. So Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. And when he says that, he wants us to consider the lilies of the field, to stop and to slow down and look and to experience this. What can we learn about God from this? Is there something from this common scene that we can learn about God's attributes, God's spirit, God's presence? Have you seen God lately? Consider the lilies of the fields, he says. The kingdom of God, he says in another place, is like a, it's like a mustard seed, or it's like a lost coin, or it's like a lost sheep, or it's like a lost boy. In John's gospel, he has seven I am statements. I am the good shepherd. I am the gatekeeper. I am the vine. I am the bread of life. Jesus is not a loaf of bread. He's not a gate, and he's not a vine. But these things say something about his divine attributes, about who he is as God's beloved son. So he's asking us, tuning our vision always, to look at common, ordinary things, to see something of God's presence, to see what those ordinary things reveal about God's presence with us. We Protestants are famous for admitting and being on the same page when we look at communion. The bread and the wine, Jesus is not in the bread and wine with us, but Jesus is at the table with us. And by the mystery of God's powerful spirit, our eating bread and drinking that juice or wine in remembrance of Jesus the Christ with him at the table by the power of the Spirit, it's communion. It points beyond itself. And so we are truly in communion with Jesus himself. That holy remembering, that prayerful participation, the presence of the Spirit is true communion. Calvin would say that sacrament is a visible sign of God's invisible grace. A visible sign in God of God's invisible grace. Which is to say that God has given us tangible things that we can see and hold and touch and smell and taste. And these things remind us of God's presence with us. We might say they generally remind us of God's presence with us, as Jesus the Christ specifically reminds us of God's presence with us. Jesus is tuning our vision in the New Testament. He's teaching us to look and to see things that we'd missed before, to constantly be on the lookout for God and for the things of God. So back to that question, that old tired question, have you seen God lately? Where have you seen God lately in your life? I see God, well, every time I get myself out of the way, I see God. I see what God's up to. I don't presume to know, but I see God's footprints everywhere. I hear God's whisper every time I open my ears. Last Saturday, we got the news that Lamar Williamson, a beloved professor at the Presbyterian School of Christian Education and Union Theological Seminary in Richmond, Virginia, died. He had lived a long and good life. His children were around his bedside singing hymns in French and in English and Shaluba, languages Lamar knew well. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee. Where have you seen God lately? For me, small tender things always point like a flashing arrow to the things of God. When a neighbor brings food to a neighbor, communion. When somebody forgives their enemy and as significantly forgives themselves, baptism. human touch, human laughter, a vulnerable smile speaks to me always, always, always of God's mercy. The thing I like best about football games when we used to watch live football games on TV was when a member of the opposing team would help another teammate up, not somebody on his own team, but somebody else would help him up. Small, tender acts of mercy. I see God writ large over all of it. That idea of mercy in the Hebrew language can be located in the word hesed, which means loving kindness. So God's mercy. When I see human mercy, I see God's. When someone says, how can I help you? I see God mercifully saying, reminding us again and again, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Where have you seen God lately? Jacob was sleeping in Genesis chapter 28, right there on the page, right near the fold of the book. We read about it in Genesis chapter 28. He has a dream. There's a ladder that extends from heaven to earth, and angels are ascending and descending freely up and down that ladder. And God comes alongside Jacob and says, your family will be as numerous as the dust on this ground, and they will be from the north and the south and the east and the west. And I will love and redeem the whole world through your family. Where have you seen God lately? Jacob woke up and said, surely the Lord has been in this place and I did not know it. Whether we see God face to face or not, whether we come upon bushes that are on fire but not being consumed or not, whether we apprehend God's presence or get a sense of God's nearness or not, God sees us. Jacob discovers God in his dream. But God knew where Jacob was the whole time. The whole time. The psalmist asks, where can I go from God's Spirit? How can I hide from God's Spirit? And the answer is, I cannot hide from God's Spirit. The darkest night is not dark to God. And you know I'm on Psalm 139 right now. The darkest dark is not dark to God. The farthest place is not far to God, not even the farthest limits of the sea. I cannot hide from God even in the deepest part of my private self. That's good news, isn't it? It's good news that God always knows where we are and that God knows us. We might lose God, but God does not lose us. Good news. Except maybe when it's not good news. Maybe it's not such good news that the psalmist knows my innermost thoughts, that the psalmist is acquainted, or that God, as we read in the psalm, that God is acquainted with all of my ways. Not all of them, please, God. We don't want you to see everything. Just be acquainted with my good ways. When I put on a tie and I try to do good things. Notice that, please, but don't notice everything. That God discerns my thoughts even from far away. That's good news, except when it's not good news. That suggests that God knows about our prejudice. God knows about our failings. God knows about how false our fake smile is. God knows the dastardly things we think in the recesses of our brain. And God knows the things we do behind our neighbor's back. This is the part of ourselves we'd rather not be known for. But God knows us, all parts of us. It's certainly hard to pretend to be noble when we know that God knows all of us. All parts of us. Now, there's something noble about being human, I think, because God created us and God said we are good. But there's so much of what we do that's off the path that we'd rather God be looking the other way. Maybe this is why Jacob was afraid after the dream. He was afraid. God is present, but who can stand the presence of God? It's so awesome. It's so amazing. Maybe Jacob understood that God knows me and all that I have done that's been a little sordid or under the table, and God will know all that I have left to do. and perhaps not all that I'm going to do is going to be so great. Maybe that's why Jacob is afraid. Other translations say he's seized by terror or dread. But Jacob also is filled with awe, and he notes this scene and responds to it by ritualistically putting these stones together, pouring oil on these stones, and saying, "This place is the gate to heaven. This place is the house of God." Every place under the right circumstances is the gate to heaven. And every house, insofar as God is already in every house, is the house of God. Bethel is what Jacob called it. God sees and loves us always. So let's look to God and look for God and be thinking of the question I'm going to ask you again in the future. Well, where have you seen God lately? Let's look for the things of God and dare to look for God, God's self, with thanksgiving and with awe. And perhaps this text would remind us to shape up like our teachers and maybe our parents told us to do. God's here. Stand up straight. Mind your manners. Love your neighbor. Love expansively like Lamar Williamson did and taught in word and deed. Be kind. Give thanks. Be humble. Do good. Praise God. Let us be ever attentive to God's holy presence, because God most assuredly is around. God's in the neighborhood, and God always knows where we are. Let's be attentive to this presence. Might we look for God? And you know, if we do, I bet you we'll find God or see where God most recently was. Let's talk about that sometime, you and me. I'd like to do that. And as we find God, we're going to discover a word of hope, but perhaps a word of challenge too, a word of correction maybe that we don't want to hear, but we know we need to hear it maybe. And with the challenge that we might hear from God, we also become aware of the gifts that God has entrusted to our care that will allow us to live into that challenge. So be attentive to God's presence. Be aware of where God might be. Look for God. And may our song always be one of praise and awe and gratitude. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in this morning, my song shall rise to Thee. Where have you seen God lately? To this God be all honor and glory and praise forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.